And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.
Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study on the office of evangelist. This is part two of two.
Pushing me, yeah, it makes me hear things. To push you, purpose you into that situation. God's using you. That should be exciting.
Amen.
And I see this with Philip, and I think, I've been there. And I hope you're there, and if not, start being sensitive to that. When you sense that prodding, just go with it. It's not a hurting thing. Verse 30, read that. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? That makes me feel good, because I read aloud all the time. Or I have Alexander Scorby reading to me out loud all the time. And that's what he says. He heard him reading. So he's reading out loud. And so I'm not the only one who does that. I'm glad to know that. And the mail lady came by last week, and I was reading the Bible. And I was reading it. I was kind of getting excited about it, and I was reading it a little exuberantly, and I thought, and she knocked on the door to let me know she's leaving a package. But I'm thinking, I wonder if she sat out there for a minute, thinking, what's it going? You know, sounds like he's talking to himself. I don't care if people think I'm crazy. Amen?
You're in your own house.
Yeah, I'm in my own house. If you can't talk to yourself in your own house, where can you talk to yourself? Yes. And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? In other words, how could I understand what I'm reading except some man guide me? Now, that's a wonderful attitude, but you're not going to run across that very often. Most people are like, I don't need anyone to tell me anything. I don't need to be told what to think or believe. Well, I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm just giving you information. That's Isaiah. He's a prophet. He's talking about, well, I'm jumping ahead. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So he's a very teachable person. American Christians mistakenly believe, where'd I have that get in there? The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led, you'll be familiar with this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, and so opened he not his mouth. Does that sound familiar? Continues in verse 33. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah 53:7-8.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
And here's an example of why I'm so glad we have chapter and verse markings. Because when the Ethiopian eunuch was reading that, there were no chapter and verse markings. And you just had to be real familiar with the book of Isaiah, and which wasn't necessarily a bad thing. But still, it's nice to be able to just tell you where to look, and you can see what he was reading. And that, again, is fascinating. You picture the eunuch up there reading Isaiah 53:7-8, and Philip walking up there, and he says, you know, I could use a little help here. And says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself? Or of some other man? That's the question. Especially for the Jew. Do you understand that most Jews, this is the make or break question. They either choose to believe that this is talking about Jesus Christ and they become what's called a Messianic Jew. Or they choose to believe it's talking about the nation of Israel. Like, spiritually, you know. And so they reject Jesus. And I'm not telling you to waste your time doing it, but you can go on the internet and find Jewish rabbis teaching Isaiah 53, answering this very question. Answering it wrongly. And so that's an amazing thing. That's the make or break. If you ever talk to a Jewish person who does believe the Bible, at least gives it lip service of being from God, it'll come down to that. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And that's what we all should do. I mean, that's what the work of an evangelist is. That's what the evangelist does. But the evangelist is different from us. He has a calling and a burden, and he will travel and go places which don't even sometimes make sense to us. Whereas you and I, wherever we are, we should still be doing the work of an evangelist and taking advantage of every opportunity to preach unto him Jesus.
Amen.
That is the work of an evangelist. Preaching Jesus. And you say, that's so obvious, and yet it is so seldom what we see from people calling themselves evangelists. And again, I've talked about the charismatics and all that, but even in fundamental churches, I've rarely been impressed with men called evangelists. And we've gone to so-called revival meetings and stuff where the evangelist gets up. He doesn't even mention Jesus. Doesn't even mention the gospel. He'll spend all of his time trying to tell women how to dress or men how to dress and telling you everything you should be reading and everything you should be looking at and all this trifling nonsense and not preaching Jesus. And what's sad about that is that most of these evangelists are going to churches where there is a dearth of understanding of Jesus. So there's a real need for them. The pastor is failing. The pastor's too busy raising funds and keeping butts in pews and doing all these things that are an agenda and doing things, running the church like a franchise. So an evangelist has an opportunity in most churches to go in and really make a difference preaching Jesus.
Amen.
You say, what if they're all saved, which I believe in a lot of these churches, there's a lot of people aren't saved. A lot of these people got a hell, get out a free hell card, but they don't even know Jesus.
Yeah.
You're not saved by just saying, I don't want to go to hell and saying this prayer. You got to know Jesus.
Amen.
And so an evangelist can go into a lot of churches and preach Jesus, and everybody on there could be on the membership roll, and yet somebody gets saved.
Amen.
And then, even if they are all saved, they know so little about Jesus and the book. And this would involve refuting error about Jesus. An evangelist should refute the errors out there about Jesus. Everything from the fact he doesn't look like Kenny Loggins, to the fact that he is God manifest in the flesh, to the fact that he wasn't always sweet and always telling everybody how wonderful they are, and reminding people that you shouldn't be making up a Jesus in your own imagination. But if you really love Jesus, then get to know Him as He is. Don't make one that is a figment of your imagination.
Amen.
You should expose false teachings about Jesus, like the fact that there are people out there saying He's created, or that He's a God, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, and that they'll also say that Jesus is the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and there's not three, but there's just one who pops up here and there as the Father and as the Son and as the Holy Spirit here and there. That's false as well. And then this should also involve those things that Satan uses to pull us away from Jesus. I believe there's a very good reason for evangelists to go in, like this time of year, we're going to hear next week from Brother John, spelling out the wickedness of Halloween, for example.
Amen.
And spelling out the wickedness of horoscopes, and the wickedness of psychics, and the wickedness of palm readers, and the wickedness of all this occultism, the Ouija boards. And I guess Brother Davis tells us there's a new propaganda movie coming out. I think it's even called the Ouija board or the Ouija. It's a new movie. Trying to pull people in, suck them in, and the preachers are too busy raising money and keeping butts in pews. So there's a time for an evangelist who he can come in and expel this stuff out and say, don't do it. Don't go there. And here's why. And pointing people to the cross and to Jesus Christ, because horoscopes, first of all, not only is it godless and all that, but think of how stupid astrology is. How many of you are born in September? Okay, two of us. Let's say across the world, I don't know, we'll say there's 30 million people in this country, because there's 300 some million. Let's say 30 million people born in around the same time I'm, and they, by the way, they changed that. Some of you were Virgos last week and now you're not. Did you know that? They actually changed it. And so, not only that, but that's okay, let's figure out where we are now. Let's say we're still Virgos, according to that zodiac. 30 million people are all reading the same thing. Today, you're going to feel beautiful. And someone special is going to come in your life. And you're going to get a discount on gasoline. So all 30 million of us are going to have the exact same day. Think of how ridiculous that is. Yeah, Johnny?
Yeah, we were now actually just talking on this, where he reveals that exact same fact.
Yes.
It's just like,
you don't have to be a Christian to have common sense, and I think he makes to be a Church of Christ, but you don't even have to be a Christian, just use your reasoning capabilities.
Amen.
This 30 million people aren't going to have the same day.
Amen.
So reading your horoscope is an exercise in insanity.
Amen.
Basically. Okay, well, that's what I'm talking about. These are things, though, that draw people away from Jesus Christ. The evangelist is to draw people closer to Jesus Christ. So these things all apply. I'm not saying evangelist only goes in and preaches a gospel message strictly. I'm not saying that, and some people try to claim that. That's not true. But it should be about Jesus.
Amen.
That's what it should be about. And then we see Philip baptizing in Acts 38, 36-38. And this is very important. Verse 36 says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, of course, the hyper-dispensationalists are nuts, and they try to say you shouldn't baptize now because, you know, this doesn't belong to our dispensation and all that, which is nonsense. We've talked about that. I'm not going to rehash that. But we continue verse 37. "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart," which implies repentance. Amen?
Amen.
"Thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
Amen.
Well, then, let's get busy. Amen?
Amen?
"And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water," so there's no sprinkling or pouring here, "both Philip and the eunuch," and what's that say?
He
baptized him. Who's he?
Philip.
Well, now, here's the problem. A lot of our Baptist brethren will teach that only pastors, properly ordained, by the way, in a legitimate Baptist church that can trace its lineage back to the apostles, only those men should baptize. So according to them, he's a heretic.
Yep.
See how important it is? You read through that and you don't think, nah, 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 nah. You don't realize there's all these people out there with these false teachings, even about stuff like that.
Yeah.
And if you don't know this stuff, they'll suck you in. I baptize people who ask me to baptize them because they want, most people would like the pastor to baptize them. But I don't tell them, you know, well, only if I do it. And as a matter of fact, Charlie, when he was baptized, he helped me baptize two other people. And we didn't have an ordination service, you know? It's like, I now baptize you, and I now ordain you, and now help me. Didn't happen. The pit of hell. No, and the reason for that teaching, it's all about control. Landmark Baptist, the Sovereign Grace Churches teach it, but a lot of their, there are other groups besides Baptists that teach that stuff. Briders, yeah, Baptist Briders. But it's all about control. That's what it's all about. And it's about law, not grace, that sort of thing. Huh? Well, yeah, they do too. Of course, they miss the whole immersion thing.
Well, we'll take out verse 37 because you have to have an actual... what does it say? You have to believe in... You have to believe.
Yeah.
How does that little baby believe?
Yeah, that's a good point. The infant baptism is blown away by this as well. Because,
wow.
You know, Now, somebody said, yeah, if they really believed in infant baptism, they'd immerse. I hate to tell you, there are groups that do that. They take little babies and go, and the baby gets blessed. Yeah! I'm serious, they do that. See, I would kind of like that. That'd be fun, but it's not biblical, so we're not going to do it.
The baby has a reflex.
Yeah, they don't drown babies, because babies do have that reflex for at least a little while. At some point, they lose it, and then they're out there drowning, and you have to go. That may seem like no big deal, but as I said, some denominations claim pastoral authority. See, control is required for baptism to be legitimate. I'm going to sound like a heretic to some of these people, but I'm telling you. Somebody gets saved, and they want their dad or somebody to baptize them. Most of the time they'll say, you know, they'd like to do it with me. And I'm fine with that. But I've heard people saying they got saved, and they just took them out and baptized them. Didn't even involve a local church. And man, you say it to some of these people, they'd be like, oh. You know, but biblically, there's nothing wrong with it. That's what I'm telling you. It's amazing. I started by saying what? We only care what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
And when you really get down to that, people say, those Catholics. Those Catholics. Well, I'm going to tell you, those Baptists.
Amen.
There's a lot of Baptists who just lose it when you do something that's against tradition.
Yeah.
And you're like, show me in the Bible. Hey, listen, when I got hung by the Free Will Baptists here in Ohio, I was in the tribunal with a bunch of elderly ignoramuses, and I sat there and I opened my Bible and I showed them where I stood, and I asked them to show me from the Scripture where I was wrong. Not one of them opened a Bible. And one opened one book, and it was the Treatise of the Free Will Baptists. And he didn't quote Scripture. He quoted, you know, like chapter 10, section 4, article 6. That's what you'll get. And it's ridiculous. Amen?
Amen.
Ridiculous. We're coming down. I just want to close with a couple of things. The important thing about believers' baptism is the person being baptized is saved.
Amen.
The baptism is by immersion.
Amen.
I personally only dunk them once, but if you want to do three times, you're in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. If you want to go, I do backwards. If you want to go forward, that sounds like fun. I mean, he's like, bang, 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 yeah. Or do both ways. Yeah. I don't think God really cares as long as you don't hurt anybody. And it should be in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. And immediately, Philip is off to do more preaching. You notice that? In Acts 8:39, read it. And when they were come up out of the water, hold on. Does that sound like sprinkle or pour?
No.
All right, just want to make that. Read it again. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And that's basically like a localized rapture.
Yep.
Whew. Gone.
Yeah,
by the way, see, that beam me up thing didn't originate with Star Trek. Yeah, go ahead.
Did Philip go under? It sounds like Philip went
under. No. Don't be too literal about that. Stephen's going to have me going under every time. No. All right, we gotta get this. We'll hash that out. I'll get the treaties out and straighten Stephen out later. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And I'm just telling you, that's what he did. That's what an evangelist does. He traveled and preached, and traveled and preached. And the only other reference to an evangelist is in 2 Timothy 4:5, and Paul is instructing Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. He doesn't say you are an evangelist. He says, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And I believe, now, Timothy's a pastor, so all pastors should be doing the work of an evangelist. I've served under pastors who won't do it.
Yeah.
And some of you may know pastors who don't do it. They're not God-called ministers.
Amen.
But all of us have a ministry, amen?
Amen?
No matter what your ministry is, you should be doing the work of an evangelist.
Amen.
Not traveling and all that, but preaching the gospel, preaching Jesus.
Amen.
So in summary, there is an office of an evangelist. If people tell you, we don't believe in evangelists, well, you're throwing the Bible out.
Yeah.
There is a legitimate office. He is to preach the gospel and the Word, not just like a gospel message, but to preach the Word and start local churches, not fix established churches.
Amen.
Okay, now I'm not saying evangelists can't go into a local church and preach, but he should have that. I'm just telling you, all evangelists should in some way be missionaries.
Amen.
And there are plenty of places in the United States of America. They don't have to be called to Africa. Plenty of places here in the United States of America where evangelists should be planting churches. But sadly, most evangelists have the Baptist definition and not the biblical definition, and so they only go to established churches, and instead of preaching the gospel to the lost and preaching the word to the saved, preaching Jesus, in other words, they spend their time trying to fix local churches. As a matter of fact, there are some segments where that's kind of become part of the faith, so-called. The preacher sees messes in his church. He calls in the evangelist so the evangelist can stomp toes. And then when he leaves, he's like, hey man, I didn't say it. That guy did, you know. Don't get mad at me. I just invited him in and gave him a check, you know. That's really how they play the game these days.
Yeah.
And all believers ought to do the work of an evangelist in preaching the gospel to the lost and teaching the word to those in our circle of influence. In other words, there's an office, they do that, but all of us should do the work of an evangelist.
Amen.
In our personal lives and ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, all of the mature and careful Bible students can talk about how interesting and wonderful this study was. You can post about it on social media. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time of Your Word, and we are thankful for how it is cut and dry, and You have made it clear. And we need to see through it when man changes things, when man goes by tradition over Scripture, or when we just get off base. Sometimes we need to refocus and set our sights and have a straight aim. And so we just pray, Lord, that everyone in this room will have the clarity of mind. This might be a help to those watching live or on the internet or on radio. Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to be a help. And with whatever time is left, we want to serve You in a way that is according to Your will, which is to serve You according to Your word, and in a way that is to the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom we pray these things, and in whose name we pray all these things. Amen.
Bye. God's people say amen.
Amen.
When I go, don't cry for me. In my Father's arms I'll be. The wounds this world left on my soul will all be.
Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.